from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Let's set up our HTO Text to Win contest. You can enter the contest. All you got to do is text the keyword T to short code 20357. That'll get you a free iced tea. More than 20 flavors from any of the three Metro HDO locations in Wichita or Derby. Also get you a free rain coffee, one of each. All you got to do is text the keyword TEA to 20357. Good luck, everybody. So we're talking about the NFL, and this is, you know, an unplanned segment, but I think a really interesting segment as Jerry Jones finds himself in the news as he has three high-profile, Hall of Fame-type caliber players, you know, threatening to hold out all at once. Cowboys are in this purgatory and have been for a long, long time with Jerry Jones. Tommy thinks I'm a Jerry Jones apologist. I'm not a Jerry Jones apologist. I'm an observer that thinks there's a lot of layers to Jerry Jones. And I think if we're talking about successful ownership, there's a lot of different things that go into that. And I would be curious before I start, you know, going through this from my perspective, Tommy, what you feel like makes an owner a successful owner.
Championships make a successful owner, number one. Okay. Clearly, revenue, money, attendance, fan base, sales, merchandise, all of the above.
Okay.
That is a clear indicator of a successful owner. I think longevity is the success of an owner. I think relationship with the community that they are in is a indicator of success of an owner. I think there's a lot of factors.
Do you think those things make it? I know it makes it. Do you think it makes them a good owner?
If they're good at all of those things, if they have success in all of those things, yeah, I do. I think that makes that person a good owner.
Would you call Clark Hunt a good owner?
Yes, I would call Clark Hunt a great owner.
Would you call Jerry Jones a good owner?
I would call Jerry Jones a influential owner. I don't know if
What's
I would call Jerry Jones a good
What's the
owner.
Difference between those two?
Jerry Jones has not won a Super Bowl in 30 years. I think that that has a lot to do with it.
They have the same number of Super Bowls as owners.
Right.
How many did Clark Hunt win before Patrick Mahomes got there?
How long had Clark Hunt been the actual principal owner before
I don't know
Patrick
the answer
Mahomes
to that. I'm not sure. What is the answer to that question?
I don't know. I'd have to look it up. I don't know when he took over, you know, day-to-day operations of the team. I mean, it's been Jerry Jones. And that's the other thing too, is that, you know, it's the Hunt family, and yeah, Clark's the principal guy, but you know, like Mark Donovan's the president of the team, has a ton of control. Brett Veach is the general manager. He makes the football decisions. Jerry Jones is the judge, jury, and executioner of that franchise.
For the most part, right. His son is the general manager and has more power than people give him credit for. And they did bring in a player personnel guy. It's why they're one of the best drafting teams in football. Contractually, Jerry Jones' fault is that he is... So this is where it gets interesting for me, and this is the dynamic I've always talked about with Jerry Jones. As a fan, yeah, I just want championships. I want decisiveness. I want all of these things. The reality in football is we prop up owners. How many, you know, Robert Kraft, who's more responsible for the Patriots winning Super Bowls, Robert Kraft or Tom Brady and Bill Belichick? Who's more responsible for the Chiefs winning Super Bowls, Clark Hunt or Patrick Mahomes? Who's more responsible for the Cowboys winning Super Bowls, Emmitt Smith, Michael Irvin, and Troy Aikman, or Jerry Jones? So I think there's a lot of layers to it. The problem for Jerry Jones to me has always been that he is widely considered one of the best owners to play for. I know people who have worked for him outside of football. It would tell you he's one of the best bosses who cares more about his employees than anybody they've ever
seen. That's
great. No, listen, let me finish. The NFL player team report cards. The Chiefs, F's all over the place from the Chiefs. Facilities, locker room, treatment of families. Guess who has A's and B's all across the board? This is what I'm talking about. It goes multi layered. The Cowboys have three Super Bowls with Jerry Jones. Three. The Chiefs have three Super Bowls with Clark Hunt. The problem for Dallas has been they hang on to coaches too long. They can't. They've just lived in this purgatory. They cannot ever decide what it is that they need to do. That's been Jerry Jones's problem. And now if you're looking at it in this offseason, he got a long history of giving guys big, long contracts when he should not give them big, long contracts. Zeke Elliott, the most recent, but there's been a whole lot of them over the years. The current problem for Jerry Jones is he cannot decide which direction the organization needs to go. Do you get rid of Mike McCarthy and Dak Prescott and you let these other players walk? Or do you, as he put it earlier in the offseason, actually go all in? But by all the success metrics of an owner, the Cowboys have been the most valuable sports franchise in the world for a very long time. Do you know what he bought the Cowboys for?
Not much money.
$100 million. $9 billion. Most valuable franchise on the planet. So by a championship metric, who has more championships than Jerry Jones as an owner?
Yeah.
Patriots, I think that's it. Yeah. Who makes more money than Jerry Jones as an owner? Nobody. Right. So you look at all of this, and this is where it gets really interesting for me. It's a lot of the things that make him one of the great owners hold them back from winning championships. And as a fan, I just want to win championships. It's like, well, crap, figure it out. Go all in or don't. I've been of the belief for the Cowboys that they should have blown this thing up a long time ago. Yeah, they're winning 13 games a year, but I can sit here and tell you right now, just like I could last offseason and the one before it, they're not winning a Super Bowl, whether they sign those three potential Hall of Famers or not. And so it's this strange dynamic with Dallas. It is so strange. And I think Clark Hunt's a great owner too. Don't get me wrong. I think he's a great owner. Absolutely. Bringing in Andy Reid, smartest decision he could have ever made, because that's within when you get Patrick Mahomes. Like, he gets it. But let's not pretend like it's all been bad and Jerry Jones is just this awful owner who's just the worst
never
owner in
that.
Football. No, I know, but
never,
a lot of people
never said that.
But a lot of people do say that.
And so here's the thing. I think that you have misconstrued my point entirely. This is my intention is not a bash Jerry Jones opinion. It's not at that at all. Like, I think that Jerry Jones has done a lot of good, not only for the Cowboys over the course of his tenure running that organization. He's done a lot of good for the NFL in general. He's done a lot. And I know the players love him. And all of that is all well and good and true and everything. For me, this is a criticism. And there are going to be people who are listening or watching our show right now who are Cowboys fans that are going to take issue with this. This is on you. This is on the Cowboys fan base at this point, because you continue to buy what Jerry Jones is selling. You continue to do that year after year after year after year. This is a team that has not won a Super Bowl since Jimmy Johnson was the coach of the team. You go year after year and you renew your season tickets for a team that you know is not going to win a Super Bowl.
Let me finish.
So this is a team where you had coming into this year, there are these high profile star players, Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, others that are entering the final year of their contract. The ambiguous nature of what's going to happen with Mike McCarthy. There were no notable offseason acquisitions. They didn't do anything to make themselves better. Ezekiel Elliott doesn't move the needle at all coming in to be the backup running back. They literally did nothing to get better. This after Jerry Jones said, and I quote, "We're going all in." They did nothing for this season. You know what Jerry Jones also said yesterday at training camp when he was with Stephen Jones, his son? They both said that the season ticket holders renewed their season tickets at the highest and fastest rate than any other team in the National Football League. That's what the fan base did when the team did nothing in the offseason to get better to win a Super Bowl. This is on the fan base.
It's not on the fan. Did you stop? Did you just refuse to watch the Chiefs when they went, what did they go, 50 years between their Super Bowls? Were you not a fan as a kid when they were terrible?
I'm not saying I wasn't a fan.
You just blame the Cowboys fans for being fans. Why would you blame the Cowboys fans for being fans?
What I'm saying is that, like, in the conversation that we had just a few moments ago before the break, I bring up the criticisms that I have about Jerry Jones and what he said at training camp yesterday. And the first thing out of your mouth is, you know, Jerry Jones takes really good care of the players, because that's what the Cowboys fan base does. It's an immediate apology about Jerry Jones. It's an immediate context before anybody can be critical of Jerry Jones.
I think you need to pull 10 Cowboys fans, 10, and see how many of them are fond of Jerry Jones. Because it would be probably one, maybe two. I am not trying to, I'm just saying he's been very successful in this league by a lot of accounts, except lately that one. He does have 3 Super Bowls, has the same number as the Chiefs do. So it's infuriating as a fan to see this purgatory. But again, the Cowboys are put on this pedestal and observed this way for all the right reasons. They deserve it. They embrace it. They want it. It is supposed to be the big and most popular. But what are Cowboys fans supposed to do? What would you say if it's the Cowboys fans' fault? What should they do?
Not buy season tickets? Like, let your pocketbook do the talking?
Is that what Chiefs fans should have done when they went 50 years without a Super Bowl?
So I can only speak for myself. The year specifically that I remember that I absolutely made that decision was the year, probably the worst year in the history of the franchise, when they went 2-14 and Javon Belcher shot himself in the parking lot of the practice facility at Arrowhead, and fans were wearing bags over their heads and people were renting airplanes to fly over the stadium with, they were hanging banners that said "Fire Scott Pioli." They were absolutely fed up with the direction of the team. They were absolutely fed up with the fact that the Chiefs hadn't won a Super Bowl at that point in 40 years. There was no meaningful direction. There was literally no strategy to make it back to the Super Bowl. There was no meaningful additions. You know what happened the very next season? Clark Hunt hired Andy Reid. And here we are.
But that's because they were 2-14, not because the fans were upset. I mean,
was tied into it.
I think that probably the two wins had more to do with it. What were ticket sales like the next year? I would have to ask that. I'm not sure. I don't know. But I'm to say fans should just be fair weather fans, and things, if they're not going well, you should stop being a fan.
I'm not saying stop being a fan. I'm saying trying to do your part to hold the ownership accountable and, you know, say, look, like I'm a Cowboys fan and I always will be, but like I can't financially support this team. Like I'm not going to buy tickets. I can't go. I'll watch it on TV, but I can't spend my money. I'm not going to go and do that sort of thing. Because like, I just don't believe in the direction that this team is going and we can't, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results.
Yeah. I don't know. I would have to go look and see what the attendance, I guess, was like for the Chiefs in those times of their struggles. I'm not sure, but it was bad.
I remember I went to one game that year. I was at a game that year. I was given free tickets. Otherwise, I wouldn't have gone. And I went, and there were not a lot of people there. I remember that. There were quite a few empty seats at that one game. And I remember there were quite a few fans that were sitting around me that had paper bags that they were wearing over their heads during that particular game. I think maybe they were playing the Browns in that game. They lost, I believe, because they were obviously really bad. They were 2-14 that year. So I don't remember, man, who was the starting quarterback that year? Was that Brody Croyle that year? It was bad. The whole thing stunk. And again, I'm not suggesting the Cowboys are not a 2-14 team. No. That's not my point. I'm just saying that like it got to the point and it was more in my mind, it was more about the lack of any kind of meaningful direction and strategy for the franchise and year after year after year of doing the same thing and just like feeling like they were settling, it got to a boiling point, at least for me, where I was like, I can't do this anymore. It's not that I can't support the team. It's not going to be a fan. It's just I can't like spend my dollars to support the team anymore.
It's amazing what a great quarterback will do for a coach, for an organization, for everything. And that's where we circle back to with the Cowboys. What do you do if you're the Cowboys? What do you do if you're Jerry Jones in this dilemma? You've got three players, Dak Prescott yesterday taking a tone he's never taken before about potentially playing somewhere else. He's already making $40 million, by the way. He's still under contract, by the way. He's already done all of these things. The other two a little bit different. They have not had their big payday. Dak's had his big payday. We've been through this same thing before with Dak Prescott. So what do you do if you're Jerry Jones? What is the smart owner thing to do? Walk away from a 13-win team or blow it up or continue to ride it out? And by the way,
blow it up. I mean, like that he should have blown it up years ago.
They won 13 games the last 3 years. I mean, that's easy to say. I'm not saying I think that was the right decision at the time, too. I don't think they should have signed Dak. But how do you walk away from 13 wins? You know what I mean? That's easier said than done. What team in the history of sports, give me one example of a team that has ever done anything like that? Because I don't think you'd find one. And that's the difficulty here. And I agree with you. I think it's time to blow it up. But I think that
the circumstances surrounding, and it's unique to Jerry Jones because of his position and the way that he operates that team. If it was, you know, if Jerry Jones was Robert Kraft, it'd be different because Robert Kraft is the owner in the traditional sense. And there is a general manager that has the football decision-making ability where Robert Kraft is just the owner of the team and does what a traditional owner does. With Jerry Jones, he is so linked into everything football related with that organization that, And his advanced age also plays into it where 13 wins doesn't matter. A Super Bowl matters. That's all. That's the only thing that matters. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't think it particularly – you cannot say that 13 wins, even if no other team in the history of professional sports has ever blown up a team that's won that amount of games or relatively speaking in their respective sport, has ever blown up their roster before. That's different in this situation because of who the owner is and what he is trying to accomplish before he kicks the bucket. It's as simple as that.
Yeah. So, again, the Chiefs are an interesting draw because we all follow the Chiefs, obviously. The Chiefs from 2013 to 2018, 11-9, 11-12, 10-12 wins. should they have blown it up after they went, you know, 10-6 in 2017? After they went 12-4 in 2016,
they lost the divisional round.
Hey, they made a change.
They made a significant change at quarterback,
which is Patrick Mahomes.
That is the cornerstone position in the league. Correct. And they knew that they needed to upgrade at that position if they wanted to go from 9, 10, 11 wins to a Super Bowl champion.
I agree. And that is the interesting part. And that's an Andy Reid thing, by the way. That's an Andy Reid decision, I think, as much as anything else. But it takes things like that. And look, they went with Dak Prescott when Tony Romo was very much still a viable quarterback in the league.
Alex Smith was a viable quarterback in the league.
They went with Tony Romo when they very much had a viable quarterback with, you know, Drew Bledsoe. It's not like they haven't done it. They've done it. They just haven't done it with Dak. And so thank God the Chiefs are awesome and they're the team that I've, you know, follow professionally now, and I can do, because I'm telling you, being a Cowboys fan, it's like it literally is purgatory. Like, what do you do? They win 12 games and a playoff game every year.
And
you know that it's not good enough. And it's like, what could they do? What could they have done this offseason? My thing has not been necessarily a blow it up with that. It's been get a different head coach in there. That has been my offer, you know, my offer to the universe to try to do something different, because Dak has never really been the reason they're not winning a Super Bowl. It's been a lot of things, but he's been good. Like, he's been fine in this league. Now, do they need to sign him and extend him again? Probably not. And then you get to the other two, with CeeDee Lamb and Micah Parsons. And if you're not going to re-sign Dak, why would you re-sign those guys? Like, what? Unless Trey Lance is your answer.
Yeah. Dak is in a weird position because in my opinion, he's not the reason that they're not winning a Super Bowl, but he probably won't be the reason that they will win a Super Bowl either. Like,
but we can
he's
say,
in that
but,
weird.
But we can
middle
say
ground.
That about a lot of quarterbacks in this league.
I think that another major difference, and it's just kind of the language that we use, and you actually just used it seconds ago when it relates to the Cowboys. And I know Mike McCarthy is there as the head coach. Don't get me wrong. I don't think that you can say, what else could they have done, when you say the Cowboys. I think you have to say, what else could he have done? Because it's Jerry Jones. It's not even Stephen Jones. It's not Mike McCarthy. It's what could Jerry have done? Where, like, when Kansas City made the decision to draft Patrick Mahomes and to move on from Alex Smith and to, you know, have that whole transition, that was a brain trust of multiple people that have high levels of football IQ in different parts of the game, whether you're talking about front office and contracts and schemes and development and all of that. This is
problem,
Jerry Jones.
The
and
problem
it's a, it's
is
an authoritarian.
I think the only thing he, you know, as far as player personnel still controls, is the contracts. And that's what they continuously get wrong, because he doesn't make roster decisions anymore. Will McClay's done that for a long time now. Again, that's why they draft so well, right? They that's why they have all these great players, because they have drafted well since they made that decision a long time ago. But Jones makes the calls on the contracts and these things, and that's what they continue to get wrong. And the coaches, my God, Jason Garrett for how many years? Mike McCarthy for how many years? So again, like, this was to put a bow on everything. You know, all those people that work for him would probably tell you he's a great owner, right? He's loyal to his people. He takes good care of his people. Things that we would value in most, you know, most places. His the value of his team is high. But this one thing, and it's going to be his legacy. It'll be his legacy, at least for Cowboys fans. It's not the good he's done for the league. It's that they didn't win a fourth Super Bowl. What standard is that? That's what's so crazy about it. But here we go again, and they're not going to this year. And I don't know what the short path to a Super Bowl is. It's wild. And he shouldn't have said what he said yesterday. But he doesn't care. It's Jerry Jones. That's the other thing about him. He didn't care. It's, hey, everybody, look at me and don't look everywhere else. Pay attention to me. But look over here while this is over here. What a mess, I guess. What a mess there in Dallas right now. Go listen to the way Dak Prescott talked yesterday. That ain't good. And you know what? You're making $40 million a year. get out there and play, buddy. You already got your raise.
By the way, CeeDee Lamb, not at camp.
No, I know.
He's holding out. You know, so like there's a lot of things going on right now.
Yeah. And he's in the conversation as best receiver in football. Like he's in that top, you know, 3, 4, 5 guys. Mike Parsons, same thing, at the second most position, perhaps in football as pass rusher. It's crazy, crazy time. Be thankful, Chiefs fans, that you got Patrick Mahomes and you don't have to worry about these things anymore. That's what good quarterback play does for you in this league. 869-1240, we'll come back. We'll look ahead to this Royals-Cubs series when we return. You know, it's not on the road, a little worrisome here. We'll talk about it when we return.
And 1240 KFH.
Welcome back in, everybody. Royals baseball tonight right here on KFH will come your way. I think I said the Royals are on the road. They're not on the road yet. They finish out the homestand with the Cubs, and then they hit the road as we look to a series that I don't know what to make of the Cubs really this year. I know that, you know, they've got some decent starting pitchers in there, and I guess there's a little bit of I've seen two different starters for the Cubs listed for tonight's game, both Hendricks and Kodai Senga. So I'm not sure which of them is getting the start. I mean, Imanaga, I should say. Imanaga's been really good, and Assad's been good. And those two will pitch two of the games, but I'm seeing two different names in two different places. It should be Hendricks tonight, and he has not been good going up against Brady Singer. But this is your series, Singer, Lugo, Reagans, where you get your three – you know, you're three guys here, and you hope that the Royals take advantage. Three more home games, then they hit the road for six straight. But it's, you know, first three of those six are against the White Sox. So, again, it sort of goes back to that Diamondback series. I think that as annoying as the final game of that series were with the awful blown save, it didn't feel like it was some momentum buster or something like that in that series. And we'll find out. Right? Are they still as hot as they were when they come into this series against Chicago? We'll find out. I would say that I like their chances at a, you know, sweep here, at least 2 out of 3. If they can't do that, now we're going to have a little bit of concern because it is going to be a tight playoff race. We know now the Mariners just added. That's a team that likely will be in the mix, at least in that wild card. Maybe they win the division, but they'll at least be in the mix for the wild card. So there's a little bit of pressure while they continue to get ready and, you know, go toward the trade deadline and do all those things. That game gets going at 7 o'clock tonight. It will be good to see Brady Singer get back on the mound. Brady Singer, what an interesting story he has been this year. He has been, you know, good far more often than he has not been good this season. But he is capable of some not so good starts, but he has been relatively consistent. He gave up 4 runs a couple of times ago in that game in Boston. Then he was great against Chicago. He was great in Colorado. He's kind of, Tommy, been really good against bad teams and not as good against good teams. If you kind of go look at his starts this year, he's dominated bad teams, and I don't want to say he's consistently struggled against good teams. He's just been far less dominant, which is not that crazy to think about, right? It's easier to pitch against bad teams. But Singer, with a game against the Cubs tonight, you would think the Cubs are not, you know, they're in the mix still. Not a great team, but this should be an opportunity for a good Brady Singer start, I would think.
Yeah, it should be. And then you look at the other side, and Kyle Hendricks has not had a good year. He's got an ERA that's approaching 7 for the Cubs. He's 2-8 this year, and he's got a whip that is approaching 1.5. So it's really been a season to forget up to this point for Kyle Hendricks. His last start was a loss. He only went five innings and gave up three runs on three hits, had three walks. He had that loss against the Diamondbacks on Saturday. So again, it's been a rough year for him. So the Royals have the opportunity to take advantage of that. That being said, Hendricks, in just a handful of starts against the Royals in the past, has pitched well against Kansas City. Hendricks is 2-0 with a 1.40 ERA. So he's pitched well against Kansas City in previous starts. So, you know, that is something to keep in mind as well. But I do think that knowing that Singer has been good against bad teams and bad against good teams, and the Cubs have, they've underperformed, you know, quite a bit this year. And knowing that Hendricks has had a bad season, I do like the Royals and I do like Singer tonight.
The Cubs are a little bit deceptive to me. I don't think I would call the Cubs a bad team. They are in last place in the NL Central, and I'm not sure I would call them a bad team. They have had pretty good pitching this year. They've struggled a little bit offensively, certainly. But again, a run differential that tells you there are far worse teams. So, like, I think that they're, I wouldn't even say they're a good team. I think they're at least an average team. It wasn't that long ago that they were thought of maybe as buyers in the thing. I don't want to be deceived there. I think we were deceived a little bit by Arizona going into the stretch, right? They were under 500. Well, they're white hot. Right now.
And they're the defending National League champions, right? Like, that was one thing I think that was forgotten about with Arizona going into this series.
The Cubs have been way better pitching, and maybe not Hendricks tonight, but everywhere else. Like, their pitching has been way better than Arizona's has this year. Their offense has struggled. So knowing that going into this series, you've got to lean into your big time three pitchers here to shut their offense down. In three games, shut them down like that. And that's where I look at this series. And it probably is advantageous to get those three. It should be a series you absolutely take at least two or three, probably a series you need to be thinking sweep here if you're the Royals. But it lines up bad offense against your three best pitchers. Shut them down. Shut them down. Take advantage of these three games. And as we look at it, that's what I would sort of suspect. And knowing that, you know, maybe the unders are a way to play these this weekend. I'm very curious to see with the Royals what happens offensively over the next three games. And you know, again, they're going up against a starting pitcher with like a 6 ERA tonight. But other than that, can they continue to stay hot? Is the Arizona final game just some outlier where you blew a save? Or does that, you know, kind of unravel on you? That'll be the thing to watch in this series, but it should be good. And yeah, it is three more. We may have had a connection issue there for just a second. Let's do this. Let's take a break. We're going to see what's going on here with the connection. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. It's all Brockton Caster. It's Sports Daily. We'll figure out what just happened. Something just happened. And we'll be right back.
.975 and 1240 KFH.
Oh man. I just look at Jerry Jones talking again today, or maybe this was some of from yesterday, about the dynamic there in Dallas and, you know, how he takes advice. And if he could write a check to win a Super Bowl, of course, he would write that check right now and all of these things. He's not the only one with major contract issues looming in NFL training camps. There are a lot of them. The 49ers have a couple of high profile ones. Brandon Ayuk's taking the headlines. Trent Williams, though, but that may be even more important. We've seen Jamar Chase and T. Higgins there in Cincinnati rumbling a little bit. I guess Tua is holding in, but still practicing. There are a lot of these, Tommy, across the league. And, you know, it sorts itself out most of the time. Man, when you get into some of these, though, like Dak Prescott, Tua. When we talk about quarterbacks, Brock Purdy's going to be there. You want to talk about a difficult decision to make in the NFL. And it's these resetting the market type quarterback. Like Trevor Lawrence hasn't done anything and resets the market. We've done it 100 times, and I go through this all the time. If you don't have a Hall of Famer or a future Hall of Famer at quarterback, you almost have no chance to win a Super Bowl in this league. And they're not everybody is that quarterback, but you got to keep paying them. Like it is a strange dynamic in the world of football to have to make the quarterback decision. And I say it all the time, like Chiefs fans never take this for granted. Like the Patriots fans hopefully never took it for granted to have a quarterback that caliber that's willing to do team friendly deals and do all these things. I mean, if Patrick Mahomes wanted to, he could sit here every offseason and be like, I need a raise. And they'd have to do it. It's crazy.
Yeah, I think the interesting thing with all of the quarterback contract drama that happens year in and year out, in my opinion, is a lot of times I don't think teams have much of a choice.
They don't.
Like once you draft who you think is going to be your long-term franchise quarterback, you've kind of made your bed with that quarterback, at least for a period of time. The market is the market, and it's not going to change. So really the only decision is, are you looking at wanting to be continuing to be in bed with that quarterback for a certain number of years or not? That's the question.
That's what the Cowboys.
It's not about like, okay, we're going to talk about, is it 3 years or 4 years? You know, are we talking about, is it going to be $35 million or $36 million? It's just about, are you going to be our quarterback long-term? Or like, it should be an easy discussion.
But it's not an easy discussion.
That's not an easy discussion, but it's like a one question discussion.
That's why the Cowboys have had such a hard time with Dak, I think. And look at the Dolphins. Like, what are you going to do with Tua?
Yeah.
What do you do with Tua? You are nothing without him, but he's not. I mean, he's not that caliber quarterback. So what do you do? I mean, that's where that question gets so dang interesting. And look, it's why the Packers did whatever Aaron Rodgers wanted for a number of years. Because what are they supposed to do? And that's when you get these really interesting situations. Daniel Jones, they caved, right? Dak Prescott, Cowboys caved to some degree. Now they've got this again. The Dolphins are going to have to do it with Tua. I mean,
a great example is what the Chicago Bears just did with Justin Fields. Yep. They only had Justin Fields for a couple of years. And could Justin Fields have taken them to a Super Bowl? I have no idea. No. Like the jury's probably still, we don't know. I mean, I think the jury's probably still out. Maybe unlikely, but I can't definitively say no, he wouldn't have taken them to a Super Bowl, but they jettisoned him out of town in favor of having Caleb Williams. They had the opportunity to do so after they had tried to build an offense around Justin Fields just the year prior. And so that's the new era in the NFL. And really, like, this isn't like just a this year thing. The Cardinals did it. Yeah. They kicked Josh Rosen to the curb the very next year, wasn't it? Like, to draft Kyler Murray.
Yeah, that's because he stunk, though. Like, he wasn't any good.
But they used a first-round draft pick on Josh Rosen, and then brought in Kyler Murray.
But they quickly learned he wasn't very good.
So, like, these teams are realizing, and they have for some time now, look, like, it's going to take the right draft pick. We're going to be locked into this quarterback long-term, and, you know, if it's not going to work, we got to make a decision and get out of it as quickly as possible.
It is.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in going to get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Hey, fantasy football owners, anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the most fascinating position in sports for a reason, because you just almost can't win without not just a good one, but a Hall of Fame one. And so you see it like, yeah, it's where the Justin Fields thinks. I like Justin Fields. I think Justin Fields is going to be the, you know, eventual starter in Pittsburgh, and he'll probably win games in the NFL and be fine. Justin Fields ever going to make the Hall of Fame, win you a Super Bowl if you're the Bears? The answer to that's no. I mean, if you're making the evaluation, I'm not, you know, trying to speak definitively, but if you're making the evaluation, you would have to say, yeah, no, that's not it. So we have an opportunity to take this guy. Let's try to run it up and see if we can't do it again.
And I think what is so unique about that situation, like I just mentioned, that is a little bit different than everything else. And even going back to that Cardinals analogy, what they did with Kyler Murray a few years ago, is that they had invested quite a bit of capital in free agent acquisitions and trades and drafting to build a team around Justin Fields, just to turn around and trade away Justin Fields and then go get Caleb Williams. And so, it, you know, like even that, even the thought of, hey, we're going to invest, we're really going to try to put a good quality offensive line and get him some weapons like DJ Moore and other players to go around Justin Fields. At the end of the day, they felt like they would have a better chance, even with all of those upgrades, to benefit the way that Justin Fields plays football if they had Caleb Williams at quarterback.
So what do you do if you're the Dolphins with Tua? I mean, it's not all that dissimilar from Dak. The numbers are out of this world. Tua's had more of an availability issue than Dak Prescott, certainly. But the numbers are out of this world. But you don't feel like it's going to be good enough. Tua's not going to win a Super Bowl in Miami. That's not going to win a Super Bowl in Dallas. Yeah. So do you just let those guys walk? I don't know what you do.
My biggest concern with Tua, you just referenced it, it always has been the injury history. I always have concerns that what he's faced, especially concussion related, is eventually, I mean, it's probably going to shorten his longevity in the NFL. I have a hard time thinking that he's going to be 40 and an NFL quarterback, you know? So to me, that makes it tougher for me to want to commit to him long-term. Everybody always says that. I've always believed the best ability is availability, you know, sure. And there's been quite a bit of time that Tua has not been available for the Dolphins over the course of his time.
Couldn't you say that about Joe Burrow at this point in his career too?
And it's sure.
Never question that with Joe Burrow. Right. And so Tua's 26.
I think it's fair to question that with Joe Burrow at this point a little bit. I mean, I think that
I even have
on this show. I've said everybody's ready to say the Bengals are like going to be this team that makes another run this year. I don't know. Joe Burrow spent a lot of time in his career on the shelf.
But that's what gets wild about it too, is you try to envision okay, what guys actually have a chance? And certainly Mahomes is raining on everybody's parade these days. But if you knew the qualifier was you're going to have to eventually probably be a Hall of Famer to be able to get it done. So then what are we doing? Only the, you know, the Bills, the Ravens, the Bengals, we think, are those the only teams that are going to compete for a Super Bowl? No, it's not. That's not how you have to operate if you're a team. It just does get fascinating every time we get to the quarterback position and to see how many guys get overpaid at the position, knowing full well those guys are never going to win a Super Bowl. And it's this is the dynamic we live with. As the Cowboys are reliving it again with Dak Prescott right now, which is wild to think about, but they are. Like, based on what we've seen and what we know in the history of the league, is Trevor Lawrence ever going to win a Super Bowl? Is Jared Goff ever going to win a Super Bowl? Is I'm trying to think of who's been paid recently. You know, was Kirk Cousins ever going to win a Super Bowl? I mean, how real can you be if you're an owner? Of course, you got to pay those guys, but you got to pay them knowing that it, you know, it is what it is. It's a strange dynamic in this league, and we'll have to see. I think the Dolphins will get Tua paid. I think his is more about a length of time as much as anything else. If I were the Dolphins, I would say Tua. I don't know if I'd reset the market with Tua, but I would guarantee a whole bunch of his money, but do it for like 3 years, 2-3 years, and just guarantee most of it, but on a shorter deal, right? Because you got to make sure he's healthy. You know, if you're talking about some of the other quarterbacks who are going to be in that situation, what do you do with Dak Prescott? What does Dak Prescott even want? You already got your big deal, right? You already got it. Like, what give you? Okay, yeah. We'll pay you for 1 year. Like, get out of town, Dak. I'm sick of that. As a Cowboys fan, Tua has not been paid yet. Most of these guys have not been paid yet when we enter this portion of the conversation. And, you know, I don't know what the right answer is. I mean, you got to pay Tua if you're the Dolphins. You've built an entire team around him. You have to. But you have to do it knowing he's probably not going to win a Super Bowl. Don't tell the team, the locker room, the coaches that. But it's reality. The Dolphins going to win a Super Bowl. Dolphins aren't going to win a Super Bowl. So, you know, I don't know. I guess you just do it. I guess you just do it and light your money on fire. Because he ain't winning a Super Bowl, but you gotta make the call. It's fascinating. And there are these decisions happening all over the league. Again, be thankful for number 15 if you're a Chiefs fan. If you're a Bills fan, be thankful you have Josh Allen or Burrow or Lamar Jackson. That's probably the list right now of guys you're 100% confident in. We'll come back. We'll get you ready for the weekend. We'll tell you when you can catch these Royals games. It's Sports Daily on a Friday. Don't go away.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.